Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back.
Hello, all you positive heads. On today's P-Head Posse episode, our guest is Positive Head listener Ramin Nazer. Ramin is a Los Angeles-based artist who runs a small publishing company called Rainbow Brain School. Rainbow Brain School is home to books entitled After You Die, I Love Everyone, Cave Paintings for Future People, and hundreds of shirts, enamel pins, cards, mobile apps, and posters. Ramin also hosts his own podcast about creativity, motivation, and death called the Rainbow Brain School Hour. Hi, Ramin. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Alexa, thanks for having me. I love you so, 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 so much. I love you so much. With the intro, and then we're here.
I was hoping you would do that because the first time we talked on the phone, I called you and you answered and just started singing the song, and
when else could I ever do that? You know,
I don't know, but I love it, and I hope you do it to every Positive Head listener that you ever encounter.
I'm making that commitment right now. Am I the only person? I can't be the first who's done that, right? You've had to have had guests so far.
You're the first. You're the first.
Really? They don't sing the... Man.
I mean, some
people... Podcast theme songs are so... It's the new version of the way we had DuckTales stuck in our heads. We had, Gummy Bears, Rescue Rangers, just in the 90s, Full House, all these... theme songs are just tattooed onto our brain. I think podcasts are taking over as the new...
My favorite was Captain Planet. Planet, he's a hero, gonna take pollution down to zero. Guys, fun fact, actually, if you go back and check out Captain Planet, the intro, they talk about Gaia and stuff in the intro. Isn't that wild? Like, I went back and was like, wait, they were talking about Gaia when I was like six? I had no idea.
Yeah, and it goes back even further. I don't know if as far as the term Gaia goes farther back, but we often think of just any kind of new age, positive, whatever, for lack of a better word, new agey kind of stuff being as like, oh, it came here in the 60s and then it's been there. But it's been, you look at little pockets of it having, oh, it was around like 200 years before that. It was just oppressed a little and then 60s and then it oppressed in the 70s and then... it comes up in little ebbs and flows cycles, and I feel there's a new one coming up, don't you?
Absolutely. But it's cool. It is cool. Like, now that you mention it, it's cool to, especially when you think about that, if it's all happening now, it's like, oh, everything's always been here. Even if you thought it wasn't here, it was always here. Even in, like you're saying, 200 years ago or however long ago, it was always floating around,
Yeah, if you zoom out far enough, there's nothing happening and there's no one there to even do anything. But as we're here zoomed in, it's clear that, we have to face the contrast in which like, oh, my friend that died is always here. It's like, well, they're actually not here, but they are in the big, 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 big picture, mm-hmm. which we all belong to and are, mm-hmm. Inseparable from. How could we be separate from it?
Absolutely. We are all it. And yeah, well, you know,
aren't we a crazy person? We're a crazy it. I'm talking to myself right now. That's so crazy. While I listen to myself, the big it is having a ball right now. And
that must be why we just can't stop. We can't stop chatting. We forgot to hit record earlier because we just started chatting so much. We're talking to ourselves and we're reunited.
Yeah. We'll make up for it, but, listeners. Don't worry in terms of, oh, yeah, the good stuff was before they turned on the mic. No, we'll get deep into it.
Warm up.
Yeah, hoping to leave you. What I love about this podcast is it can get you out of a funk and it can break things up in a way that you wouldn't have thought of yourself, at least not immediately. And in a world filled with so much bad news, this is a little refuge of just nonstop hitting that positive, abundant perspective, like how to actually be in flow with stuff. And yeah, those episodes can change your day. So I'm going to this hoping that I can give as much value as I can in terms of that for people and you and myself. You're, and yeah, all of it.
Oh, you already are. You're giving a lot of bang for your buck. So I'm into it.
This part, like, I don't think, I mean, not to just completely, or why not? Why can't I just boast this podcast the whole time? But I don't think there's anything else right now that puts out as much stuff as this and is not asking for anything. Like, maybe there's a Gaia ad at the beginning, but those are fun too. And there's no, there's such a high cost. And some of my other favorite podcasts, it's like, oh, well, that's only updated every week or every month, or this one is just consistently good and there's so much of it. And oh man, it's great.
Well, isn't it just awesome? I mean, I love that too, you know, that it's 5 days a week and that each day it's like I get to wake up in the morning and be like, okay, I'm going to do, it's basically like a meditation practice for me before my actual meditation. I'm like, what's going on today? You know, and it feels so connective. Like, it's like the way that Brandon takes what's going on, whether it's in the Facebook group or just, you know, around in his life and connecting it to the rest of the listeners, like, that's why I love it as well, because it just feels so like we're all kind of going through this together.
Yeah,
you know?
We sure are. And that's what any, not just visual art, but I think songs, movies, and any sort of art, I think a lot of the value in it is someone else communicating something very deep and small from a small place within them. And it resonates with other people when they thought that, no, there's no way anyone else feels like this. And then it's like, oh, I feel exactly like that. And it hit that spot. Yes. And unfortunately, but sometimes those things that hit that spot is not, you can't keep relying on it. I think Abraham Hicks refers to them as stepping stones. I use the bananas analogy a lot, where bananas, you know, they start green and it's like yellow and you want them, but they go bad pretty quick. Like, you don't want to be eating a 3 week old banana, and it's relative to you, but oftentimes like if I see a motivational quote or a song that really speaks to you, like, you listen to that same song in 2 weeks, it does nothing for you. That poster on your wall, you just want to take it down. It's almost taunting you at that point. And it's interesting how these things change, and how it's good that it changes, because that's what creates the motion in the cosmos and of all existence. But it's somewhere that we fall down sometimes. And that's why the beginning of this podcast says it's a daily conscious effort to maintain an elevated vibration. Mm-hmm. Effort.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of art, you're an artist.
Ooh, I transitioned to that pretty well, huh?
You did. You already knew where I was going. sorry. But, you know, I would love for you to share a little bit about your story and yourself, and, you know, how you came to have this perspective and be on this path, and how you eventually found the podcast.
Sure. Well, I'm an artist, and I think you said it in the intro already. I have a small publishing company. It's called Rainbow Brain Skull. It's my little, you know, thing. Like, Prince had, NPG Records, and Frank Zappa had Barking Pumpkin, and Chris Hardwick has Nerdist. I think he sold that company or something. So maybe I'm not equating myself to that, but it's, yeah, it's just my little company because I wanted to release books and I wasn't getting published. I honestly didn't reach out to that many publishers. I'm a very chip on my shoulder type of guy. I want to do it myself, figure out how it works. And my first book that I put out with this is called After You Die. And on the front of it, it's got the rainbow brain skull and it says no religious agenda. And I say, I don't know what happens after you die. I just like to entertain different models. And we're all going to die. It could be today. It could be in 100 years. It's going to be a surprise. And no one really knows, can it describe the model. There's just models. And I like looking at models. So it goes through all the models and I illustrated all of them. First one, oblivion, complete nothingness. There's just no you, no body, thoughts, emotions. Goes to heaven, hell, purgatory, limbo, reincarnation. You become a ghost. You resonate the last emotion you ever felt. You wake up. It was all a dream, like Inception. You repeat it over and over again, like Groundhog Day. You repeat it over and over again, but with no memory of it, not like Groundhog Day. So you don't learn from it. It's just endless loop. It's a simulation that you designed and then you remembered it, or you become your four-dimensional self. You are aware of every moment of your whole life simultaneously at once from that perspective. And that's how you grow to the next level, the same way that we were just a single-celled consciousness at one point, and now we're a 60 trillion cell consciousness thing commanding 60 trillion cells that are all dividing every minute and doing these crazy chemical reactions to make it all work in perfect sync. And we're commanding this thing around, but we just kind of see ourselves as like, oh yeah, my hair looks bad today and this shirt doesn't make me look good. We're like seeing this very like cartoon version of ourselves, but we're a really complex organism thing hanging out here in this world, which is a school that we're playing out through this body. And I'm just describing this book and now I went on a tangent, but we should get into all that later. But basically I make books and I make comics and apps, and it's a crazy time in 2018 in terms of a lot of things, but one specific one for, I guess, creative types or people who are solo, freelancer, entrepreneur type of people. The world is very saturated. There's more content being generated every second than you can consume in your whole life. So I'm just trying to, make as much art as I can that can help people psychologically the way that I'm trying to help myself psychologically. And, rather than just drawing a bird just because I want to draw a bird and then it's like, ooh, bird. Like I want to have something with meaning and that, you know, triggers something in other people to help them out. And the messages I get from people saying how I've helped is what keeps me going. So that's a big sentence, right? I always get insecure if I've been talking too long. I'm like, have I just been...
Oh, was that one sentence?
I'm like, oh, am I steamrolling this person? I want to be a good guest. If you know, you talk, I talk, or just like talking about the same thing rather than regurgitating what I think the world is like or what I think I'm like.
No, I love it. I love it. This is why I wanted to have you on. And, you know, to be completely candid, you're the only person that I've actually reached out to and been like, can you please
be
on this?
Wait, how did everyone else get on here?
Because they reached out. They submitted themselves.
It's the fan part of the show. That's why, right?
Yeah, it's the listener part. We put out
a
message saying, you know, if you have a story. Yeah.
Any of the other people that have asked. I think that's very good that you ask, and I need to be better about asking because that's one of my big things that I suck at asking people for stuff. I've got that kind of pride disorder of I think I can do it all myself, and you can't do it all yourself. You're going to lose.
Well, I think we all have a little bit of that, and it's not, I don't even, do you think it's really pride or does it also come from, you know, being sensitive as a child and being told, you know, maybe we're doing it wrong and because for me, I have that too. I have the pride thing going on, but I really think it comes from, you know, when I was little, like people were trying to tell me how to do things and I just I wanted to do it my own way. I wanted to explore my own way. I'm the youngest and the oldest.
It's just pride or just some innate thing, whether it's an astrological sign thing or whether I was brought up a certain way culturally. It's probably a ton of different things all mixed to it to leading to where I am now. And I've just come to recognize that very recently. I think a lot of us are going through breakdowns, just constant, not breakdown of like nervous breakdown, but your whole model of the world. And these last 4 years have been very strange. Like I can't find any any, like, not just celebrity deaths and political change, especially that stuff, but just in your own life, like, you're standing in such a different place than you were a year ago or 2 years ago or 6 months ago. It seems like history is speeding up, and it can be scary, but it can also be exciting. It's your choice. Probably both.
Totally. It's, you know, I like to think of it as, because I've had that same sensation, like, whoa, like, sometimes I don't even know where I am. I'm like, oh, I feel so disoriented sometimes because things just seem to be so fast and so slow at the same time. It's like, you know, we feel like we're in a different dimension or something. But to me, it's like, I feel like that's a sign that we're blending more with our true selves, and we're tuning into our intuition even more to be able to recognize that. Because before, you know, a few years ago or 10 years ago or whatever, it's like we were so, or me at least in my experience, I was so not tuned into that, that everything just seems so linear, you know, and not magical, like more like, how do I get this and how do I do this and what's next and all of that. And, and now
that lack of magic is the worst, huh?
Isn't it? Oh my God. Once you realize that things are magic, you're like, I want to live in a magical world. Like, I want to live in this fairy tale. Like, I want my life to be this way, because when you were little and it was like you were watching Disney movies or, you know, Harry Potter or whatever, it was like, oh, I wish life was like that. And now it's like, I feel like I come to realize, oh, it is like that. I just have to see it that way, you know, and I want to see it.
A friend of mine who tried psychedelic or psilocybin mushrooms for the first time, the first thing they said was, wow, it's like being a kid again. And I always remembered that. And I know there's ways to get there without, you know, psychedelic substances and all that kind of thing. But specifically in this example, that's how they got to that place. And it just made me think, like, oh man, we used to just feel like that naturally. And now you have to take a thing away from people and allot a whole day for it. And you feel a little nauseous. And it's like, oh, this is a bum deal, huh?
You know what?
They're good for their own thing, but to rely on it, like to not have your own magic making machine. Like, have you ever heard the phrase, the opposite of work, or the opposite of play isn't work, it's depression? So those are the two polarities we're dealing with. We're dealing with depression and we're dealing with play. If you're being playful and you're truly being, you know, in enjoying the play, you're not depressed, and vice versa. You can't really play when you're depressed. You can't get out of bed. You can't make depressed memes, comics, things like that. You're just you're paralyzed. Little decision space.
Absolutely. But, you know what's funny about you bringing up... Oh, I'm sorry. You know what's funny about you bringing that up about, you know, the mushrooms and about like having to allot a whole day to like get into that mental state basically is I partook in some psychedelics like about 6 months ago. And while I was doing that, I had this realization. I was like, wait a minute. They're selling us our own high. Like this, it's like my whole life I've thought, oh, like, okay, when I smoke weed, right? Like I'm getting somewhere that I can't get otherwise, because that's what the weed does to me. It gives me something that I'm not, right? But suddenly I had a realization that day. I was like, oh my God, it's not giving me something that I'm not. It's removing the things that keep me from being that. That's what it's doing in that moment. It's actually removing all the blockages so that I can be what I really am, which is this blissed out, like chilled out, like everything's awesome person. And it's just that that's why people like these things, because we get to be more of who we are, except that, like you said, it's like then we have to rely on those things. And so then we have to learn, oh, well, we can actually get there on our own. It just takes more focus and work. So I just thought that was...
On the natch, as Terrence McKenna would say.
On the natch.
On the natch, getting there on the natch. And it reminds me of, I might have said this on my own podcast before. I tend to repeat myself, but that's okay. I'm not repeating myself in this podcast. I'm not repeating myself.
That's all that Positive Head is, as Brandon says. All he does is repeat himself. So it's natural. Go ahead.
Good. I like it. I like hearing the same thing I need to be reminded of. But it reminds me of in that old Ram Dass story of him taking the, I think it was LSD tablets, and taking them to his guru, Neem Karoli Baba, who owned nothing. He just owned a blanket. And apparently if you were near him, you would just get into a psychedelic state of pure love. And he was this magical being that could teleport and heal people. And he was a rascal, and he would pretend to not do any of that stuff in front of some people. So they thought he was a scam. And Steve Jobs was totally into him, and Mark Zuckerberg. See, I'm just describing important people, yeah. So people give it credibility. But this is positive head podcast, so I don't have to sell you guys on it. I can just kind of go straight into the woo woo. But he gave, if you're not familiar with the story, Ram Dass gave him a lot of acid and made sure that he didn't palm it or anything, so that he was actually taking it, and it did nothing to him. And the lesson he got from that is it's inside you. Like, he's already in that place. He describes him as, I used to just get high all the time, and then the problem with getting high is that I always came down. And then one day I met a being who never came down, and that's what led him into that whole journey of the yogic spiritual Hanuman path.
Yeah, because I think I have actually heard that story before, but that so speaks to exactly what I'm talking about. And it's funny because yesterday I saw on Instagram, it was like a clip on Instagram of this girl who this is really random, but this girl who tried out for American Idol, and I don't even watch that stuff, but for some reason this clip really spoke to me because this girl seemed really unique, like not classically pretty, not classically superstar, like she just seemed very different, and I could tell like she was going to be one of those with an amazing voice or something. So I watched the clip, and first thing she comes in, and first of all, she sings this, she's incredible, and she sings this incredible song that she wrote herself that's better than like anything on the radio.
You're allowed
that just
to do that?
Everyone was. Yeah.
I didn't think you could sing your own songs. I thought they'd escort you out of the building if you tried something like that.
Well, this girl, I don't know. This girl was super special, but it was funny. Then she goes, they go, yeah, are you just like naturally like, cause she was so like high. And she was like, yeah, this is me. Like, I don't drink caffeine. Like, and her high was like, just even watching her, you were like, just even me through the phone, I was like, oh my God, I want this girl's high. And she was just kept saying, this is just me. Like, I'm just high actually on life. And I was like, wow, there are people who, like you said, or like you were referencing, they just never come down. And it's because they've actually found it within themselves, which is what we're all really trying to do. But it's like, you know, we're in this culture where there's a lot of tools that we've kind of started to rely on. And it's really a process, like, especially for me, of like pulling myself away from these tools and these conditions and actually finding it permanently. Cause I have this sense that like, wow, it's really within myself. If I could just put all my faith in that, you know, and I would be higher than I've ever been, maybe.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, because the conclusion that we've drawn from all of these podcasts and all the quantum physics and all the simulation theory physics and all the holofractal unified field theory physics, pretty much, or even Bruce Lipton's stem cell rap. I don't know if you've heard that or if he's been on the podcast before.
Yeah, I know all about Bruce Lipton. Yeah, he was. He was a guest.
Basically, his conclusion, which you can go look it up. I'm going to butcher the whole thing saying it, but it's basically you're a signal being picked up and playing through this body. You're a field of information that is picked up by the self receptors on your cells. And if your cells were to, if you were to take your self receptors and put them onto my cell, it wouldn't act the same. And when you remove the self receptors, the cell has no behavior. So it's basically these little antennas that pick up the you signal, which is unique to you. And it's easy to think that, oh, that's just like, where's the proof in that? But we've got radio waves, microwaves in the rooms we're both sitting right now. We don't see them. But if you took a like radio crystal and tuned it to a certain frequency, you would pick up that channel. So the orchestra isn't inside the radio. It's a signal being picked up, and our bodies are the little radios that pick up the signal of you. And we're here to learn, experience, and within every single frame slice, every piece of you goes back to source and writes it down permanently and then comes back. You're born anew every single, not even second or microsecond, the smallest possible unit, which means that it auto-saves seamlessly. There is no like, oh, it auto-saved 7 minutes ago, so it's all gone. It's all there. The universe doesn't want to delete anything. And I think Nassim Harriman already might have said this.
Harriman said
this on this podcast, but just the way that, you know, the Earth never revisits a single spot on its path. It's always traveling, you know, outwards. The sun is moving. It's not just spinning around a sun that's stationary. The sun is moving. The galaxy is moving. Everything is moving. And so it's like when something takes place, it's literally taking that place. It's taking that spot. And so it's like writing it onto a record, onto a CD. That's why it's when you want to go back in time, you would have to actually, that's a problem with time travel. If you actually had a time machine, the Earth would be in a different spot than it was 50 years ago. So you'd have to calculate that. And what Einstein discovered was that, you know, time and space are one thing. It's space time and, you know, E equals MC squared. It's one thing. He geometrized space time. It's a geometric thing that we're in. And that just gives me a lot of hope, I guess, makes me feel good when someone I love is dead or when, you know, you're longing for the past or something that is apparently gone, but none of it's gone. Everything is here. What's the saying? Nothing is lost. Nothing lasts and nothing is lost.
It's wow. First of all, you just gave me chills because, I just love what you just said. But also I saw a sticker, like last year on some, like a poll that said time is a flat circle, and it had like a geometric, like a it's like a big, like a cylindrical shape that was flat, and it, you know, kind of like a pie, like in like whatever it was a shape of a circle, and it was illustrating that like time is this circle and every point in time is just a different area of the circle, but it's all part of the same thing. So it's a space. It's a space that you're moving around in.
You're moving around in it. It's not a ride where you're stuck like, oh no, it's a flat circle. That means we're doomed to repeat history over and over again. It's just some kind of repeating thing.
No.
That's what I'm saying, that it's no.
Yeah, no, it was like, yeah, it's just illustrating that it's a space that you're moving around in, so you're experiencing different things. And I just love the way it was so plainly said, like, time is a flat circle, like, it's not about past or present, it all is here, it's just in different areas, you know?
Was that True Detective, or do you think it was right about the time of True Detective? Because he didn't say it first, but Matthew McConaughey definitely gave a rise in popularity to that awesome phrase.
Rust Cole says time
is a flat circle while he's like, you know, just like carving his Lone Star thing with a knife or something.
It's probably from there. I just had no idea because I didn't watch that. I watched a little bit of the first season, but like I don't like dark stuff very much. Like it just gets me in a dark place.
Now that I give you that, and really the only reason to watch it is just because Matthew McConaughey is just such a good, enjoyable to watch, charismatic actor. I love the McConaissance. I love just watching him. I know people have problems with True Detective and Interstellar and pretty much all of it. Dallas Buyers Club. I'm like, I love Interstellar. What's wrong with it? It's a movie. It doesn't have to be the most perfect thing where every piece fits together perfectly. If you had a good time with a book or anything or a TV show, or do you find yourself, it might just be because I'm in Los Angeles, but there's just so much like everything is wasn't good enough. Like there's so little content that's good enough, but there's so much content. There's so much good content, you know?
Well, don't you find that that's just generally a reflection of people's mental state, you know, because I know what you're talking about. It's like no one can find something good to say about things. They can only find what they don't like about things. And I saw this YouTube video. It was posted in the Positive Heads Facebook group. It was this little kid. I think he was like six, maybe. And it was like he was channeling because he was talking so wild. He goes, "What do you practice? If you practice disappointment, you're disappointed with the traffic, you're disappointed, whatever, then that is what you will create. If this is what you practice, you will get very, very, very good at it. And you will see, all you will see are things that disappoint you." And he was basically talking about the law of attraction, but it's, you know, it really, makes me think of that because I think that people have felt for a long time that the only way they get heard is if they complain about something or if they say, well, this is my opinion and this is why I don't like this, because the general mood and tone of our world for the past however many years since, you know, we've had administrations and stuff has been kind of this dark like tone of like what's not working, right? But it's like now... Yeah. It's like the tide is starting to turn. And finally, in at least in my life, I'm starting to see people, you know, say, oh, this is what is working. This is what I like about this. And that is really also like, I feel like this group of people, everyone listening to this podcast, like we are on the leading edge of that movement of, hey, this is what I do like. Hey, this is what I do want to see more of. Hey, this is why that movie was awesome. Even if most of it was stupid, it's like, but this is what was awesome about it. You know, it's just a shift.
And isn't it strange that it's rare, which I guess it's, you know, it's a lot of stuff is rare. Like there's more, it appears that there's more blank space out in the stars than there are stars, but those stars, oh man, those are some good boys and girls right there, and gender other thing. I remember there was a controversy on this podcast about something or another. So what was it? I think it was people of color or something. Oh, check it out. I'm a person of color. I did it.
Yo,
I'm a brown person.
I'm
on the podcast. Yo, you checked the thing off.
You guys, we're making history right here. That's awesome. Bonus. All right.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I.
But also, that's just the skin package. I'm not a brown person behind it. If you tear the skin off, I'm not that at all. I'm a skeleton. If you tear that off, I'm not that at all.
Well, so how do you feel about that whole, not to, well, I guess I am trying to dig it all up, but I mean, how do you as a person.
Dig into anything. Okay. That's what people want here.
How do you as a person of color, as you just called yourself, how do you actually feel about that? Because just from my perspective of the whole thing is, I think. What's happening in that discussion is that on one hand, we're all just energy. And if you look at it that way, as Brandon, I think that's how he's looking at it. Like we're literally all energy. We're all the exact same thing. The color thing is ridiculous type of thing. And that's the mentality we want to move forward with. But on the other hand, to someone who has experienced negative experiences because of their race or how they look, it's not such an easy sweep it under the carpet type of thing, and they don't want it to be overlooked that way. So what is your take on it?
I haven't had that bad of a time with it. I do have some bad times, like because it's the background is Middle Eastern, so I do get stopped more at the airport. They always check my bag ever since 9/11 stuff. Mm. And of course, more like terrorist jokes growing up and that kind of thing. But I think every kid gets picked on in their own way. But I'll also, like, on top of that, I'll have male privilege. So I have the benefit of not having to, you know, have to speak louder and interrupt people and not get interrupted as much just because I'm a guy. I don't have to have a period every month. There's all kinds of benefits of having a male holographic carbon-based bipedal body.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the disadvantage of that one. But there's probably other advantages. Like now as things are shifting, I'm probably getting more opportunities as a result of that. Whereas if it was straight white male, then that's like all no good there. But then if you're straight white male, then you have the advantage of being in the good old boys club. But the good old boys club is coming to an end. So it's really just how you play it. I try to see the light in all of it. And so did, like, let's take, what's his name? Charlemagne from The Breakfast Club. He wrote a whole book called Black Privilege because he was tired of just the negative mindset. And while all that stuff is true and it's really tough to be a black person, especially around police or just all the countless other things, prison industrial complex, that kind of thing. I mean, that's police related, but I don't need to go on a whole rant of that. We know what all that is, but he's like, yeah, there's enough negative stuff of that going around. And when you're subjected to that all day, you can't get out of bed. You can't right. do anything. So I'm going to focus on what are the black privileges. And then if you focus on those, then you're going to feel better about yourself. The negative will still be there. And there's not much you can do about it maybe today, but it changes over time. Like there's not at least, remember black people would have, if they were in a swimming pool, there would be people that come and throw acid in the swimming pool. And this was not even not even 100 years ago. This is like back in what, the 60s, 70s. It's wow. slowly getting better, but it's not done by any means.
And well, and I think, yeah, I mean, I think the point is the, you know, it's like her, again, from my perspective, it's like, and you just mentioned it too. It's like, you can look at any one of these races or subgroups, and there's tons of negative things that have happened to everyone. Like, literally, no matter who you are, there's tons of negative things, I'm sure, that you could find in your life if you get...
Oh, yeah. You know what I think of a lot? Or not to interrupt, what? Or actually, I am interrupting, okay. But, like, when people get... Like, I think of recently, Chris Cornell hung himself, and he had family, fame, money, was talented, yeah. was loved, and for whatever reason, in that little span of time, like, he couldn't continue going on, so you never know what the struggle is.
Exactly, and no matter who you are, and he was, exactly what you said, he was a white male, he was really famous, he was really loved. Same thing with Robin Williams, it's like... You know, everybody has things in their life, no matter where you're, what group you belong to on the outside, you know, that is a negative thing that could, you know, really have impacted you. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know, I didn't comment on this whole issue in the group, but what I wanted to say was like, when it comes down to it, we will never know what it's like to walk in someone else's shoes because we... Our purpose is to be here expressing this unique version of Source. And so whether you're black, white, brown, male, female, whatever it is, it's like you're here to express that unique aspect and fractal as beautifully as you can and find all the beauty in your specific experience. And that's why it's never going to satisfy anyone for Brandon to, no matter what Brandon says about this topic or what I say or what you say, it's never going to satisfy everyone because everyone has their own unique perspective, as they should. It's just up to each person to find all the beauty they can and all the positives in their unique expression and express that as in the highest version possible and not get caught up in all this, well, you don't understand type of thing and whatever. And it's like, yeah, because no one will understand you, and you don't need them to understand you. You just need to understand yourself and understand what benefit you bring to the world and express that.
Oh man, that's it right there. And we're awesome. All, we're all our own color, you know, like there's unlimited colors, but yeah. Don't try to be an orange if you're a green, and don't try to be a blue if you're a purple. Like, it's about finding, as we referenced earlier, I think in the podcast, hopefully that wasn't pre-podcast, but we were referring to true successful artists listening to their core, getting in touch with themselves, not listening to the outside, and staying true to what they know in their heart is right. Yes. And you know, the right thing is always absolutely. The right thing. It's just how it goes. Another way is, you know, truth yeah. is, I say this one a lot. It's if it's an old, I don't know if it was McKenna or someone else. He might have been quoting someone else. But if the truth can be told in a way in which it can be understood, it will be believed. That's what truth is. It's just the most uncorruptible thing. If it's real truth, it's uncorruptible.
Mm-hmm. That's why Abraham always just rings so true. No matter, you know, when I listen to Abraham,
she cuts
like,
right to it. Yeah. Truth. She'll interrupt your sentence. Like if yeah. someone says, I'm just always late to, and then she'll say like, look at how you're saying always. Yeah. And it's not always, but look how it feels when you say that you're always doing that. And you're kind of putting that constraint on it. And isn't it more true that you're not always doing that, and you're only doing it sometimes. And when you do it sometimes, doesn't that feel good? Doesn't it feel good to be in the vortex? Why not start the day by saying, yeah. I like being in the vortex. When I'm in the vortex, I'm kind to people. When I'm in the vortex, I believe in myself more. When I'm in the vortex, I like being in the vortex. When I'm in the vortex, I like it.
Yeah. Well, I heard someone actually once say to Abraham, they were like, you have this power when you talk. It's like you don't. And they interrupted the person at the time. And they were like, we don't care what you think because we know that we're telling the truth. And that's what you're feeling, is that we know that we're in our truth. Like, we don't question how you're going to take it. We don't care because we're just telling the truth. And it's like, that shows you, wow, like when you really feel something resonate as the truth within you. Because I've had a couple of moments in my life, especially recently, where I'll be talking to someone and they're kind of like, yeah, yeah. Like, I can tell yeah. they're kind of half like into it. And then I finally kind of like it's almost like I check out of my body for a second and I feel like someone else is running. It's almost like I feel like someone else is talking because it feels like such a natural flow. And the second I let that happen, suddenly the person will look at me like I've just like pressed a button in their head, like, oh yeah, that's true. You know? And it's about, you know, and I think that shows us, you know, what the way to make an impact here is really to align with your higher self and to let that come through and take over a little bit more. Just let that alignment guide you into what to say, because when you're aligned, that's when the truth comes out. You know, you're not trying. You're not trying to convince anyone.
It's
you're just
everything.
Speaking your truth.
Like, I think of it in terms of in music a lot. Yeah. Like, I'm a big Jimi Hendrix guy, and you know, a lot of his, you know, especially live recordings, just littered with mistakes. Yes. And sometimes, you know, the fuzz is too much. It's got this distorted sound. But what he's doing is he's communicating him. It's the most true, like, you can feel it. It's coming from a place very deep within him. Same with, look at 90s hip hop. Production value, absolute garbage. But the truth that's coming through that is what resonates with people. Or when it's Picasso drawing the you know, very minimalist stuff. Well, that hasn't really done anything for me personally. I just know historically that the reason that things like this are successful and gain attention and resonate with people is because they're coming from somewhere true, which other people haven't, you know, cognitively witnessed before, but they just, they know it's the real deal.
Totally. Oh my gosh, I just got chills again. I love what you just said.
Yay.
Because, chills. Yeah.
There's that ego again, you know, like when back to Ram Dass. It's just the all Terrence McKenna, Ram Dass, Abraham Hicks hour tonight on
That's
PM,
fine 94.5.
Yeah. And how he talks about how even after he had gone through that, you know, journey with Maharaji and he'd learned the truth and experienced the truth and experienced oneness, he still would come down into his separateness and there would be Ram Dass and there would be Richard Alpert. And he said, Ram Dass would look at everyone in the audience of the lecture with love. And then Richard Alpert was counting the house. He's looking at the tickets. He's like, mm-hmm. Oh man, there's two empty seats there. Or when he says something good, he's like, I'm good. I communicated with people. I did a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
but isn't that, you know, there's so much like rejection and like hate, you know, there's so much like anti-ego stuff out there and really like, and, you know, the ego can like lead us astray, but really it's one, you know, your ego and your, I don't know what you want to call the counter of your ego, but it's like a balancing act, you know? It's like when you hit the ego and you know that your ego is coming through and your ego is running the show, you're like, oh, I've hit the wall over here. Let me bounce back off and go to the other side. You know, it's constantly trying to find that balance of, because ego is serving us a purpose here, isn't it?
You need an ego to know whose mouth to put food in. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to keep your physical thing alive and you can't learn in this space without. That's the cool thing about this school is that it could have so been like a dream where it's not linear and then the objects that you put somewhere aren't there later and you're just all of a sudden in another place and just the way that dreams just have no continuity. We're like lucky to be in a world with continuity and you put something in the cupboard and it's still there. Tomorrow you can plan stuff. The sun comes up the next day and that's you know, a cool lesson that the sun teaches us that it's, you know, it goes away and comes back up and goes away and.
It's funny. I have a tattoo on my wrist that says the sun will shine in French because of that exact reason. Like,
the
meaning,
soleil,
you know,
will briller.
Le soleil briller. I my accent's terrible. Will burn. It basically is what it means, but will shine.
French, French are
because,
awesome.
I took French for a long time, so I guess that's why I got it in French.
I grew up in Canada a little bit, so I've got half, like, you know, Québécois French, not French French. So my Québécois French isn't good. It's like, okay. So in France French, it's like especially bad because you're not supposed to speak like bad French even there. They, like a lot of people, you know, the tourist type, they like learn a little bit of French and then they talk to the, or maybe it's just Paris. I don't know. But the Paris people like won't speak back to you in French if your French sucks. They'll be like, they'll just switch to English. Like, my English is better than your French.
Well, it's funny. It's funny because that's what exactly what I experienced like 10 years ago when I was in Paris, when I was studying abroad in Amsterdam. But it's funny because I just went back there for a wedding and everyone was so nice. And I was speaking English and everyone was like, oh, yeah, just like talking back to me in English. And I kept asking my boyfriend, I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, I was like, it wasn't like this. He's like, yeah, it's because that now they've been teaching English in France. It's become like a popular thing to learn English. And so now they don't care. Like that was my it was such a reversal when I went there.
Just a random tidbit. Huh? It's all dissolving. There's going to be like translators. So check this out. I'll get comments on Instagram or Facebook or something. And sometimes they'll be in German or I don't even remember what they'll be in sometimes, like Indian, or I know there's no language called Indian, but you know, the non-offensive way of saying everything. This applies to backwards and forwards of what I'm talking about. But there's just a little button that says translate. And all of a sudden, like, I didn't even have to look up. It's future magic technology to even be able to highlight some text and then drag it over to a thing and then do it. We're already at the level where it does it automatically. And voice isn't that far off. Voice is actually, have you seen that demo of Jordan Peele where they take a section of his voice and they make him say a sentence that he never even said, just using some audio sample? They were able to synthesize the human voice. And the same way we can do that with photos now, it's like so easy to Photoshop something that looks super real. Video and voice are coming after that. So it's like, if you identify with that as being your you and no one else can use it to do stuff, you're in for some tricky times coming up. But if you recognize that you're not that, and that's just your character playing out through you, and then as the programmer starts to be able to make more stuff happen in this reality, then all that is going to play out. And I like the future, though. I'm excited.
Hi, everyone. As you probably noticed, this episode is part one of two with Alex and Ramin. At this point in their interview, they had a technical problem that interrupted them, and they picked it up again later. And part two of our conversation with Ramin will come out next Friday.